So, and that's also very important. A lot of times when we think about a particular disease or issue, we don't think about the whole person. We just think of that person in the context of their disease. And my experience has been that it's never just about one thing. There's not ever just one thing going on. And I think that's very true with the writers in this workshop as well.
So let's talk about the process of working on this particular workshop and this collaboration. It's a 4-month collaboration for this one?
Yes. So Heath facilitated a 2-month writing workshop at National MS Society, and then we auditioned professional actors, including Bonnie Littleton, who's with us here today. And so then it's been a 4-week rehearsal process. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we're opening this Friday. So yes.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the themes that have emerged? I don't know if Heath, if you want to address that.
Oh, absolutely. I think that for me, one of the biggest themes has been how we have to learn to live with our identities as we continue to survive, as we move deeper into our lives, and that's been one of the biggest things that has emerged for me.
Mm-hmm. So I guess what I'd like to know, and I'd like to bring Gary and Bonnie into this, what are some of the, what don't people realize about MS, about multiple sclerosis? I mean, are there some myths about having multiple sclerosis?
Well, one of the common myths is that, but you look so good. A lot of the symptoms are invisible. And so even though we're struggling inside, it doesn't show itself, present itself, and that's one of the common ones.
So people think that there's actual a kind of look that you should have.
Yeah, you don't look disabled.
Right, yeah. Right. So it. I think what people might not understand too is that it's a long progressive condition.
Correct.
And you know, when I was reading some of the symptoms, and I'm a bit of a hypochondriac, okay, so I start thinking, well, I could feel that way, you know, and so it's something that's probably really hard to diagnose.
Yeah.
Was that the same for you, or you know,
specifically for me, it was not hard to diagnose. It was pretty obvious, but it can be.
Mm-hmm. How that came to be? What did you notice about yourself that you thought you wanted to, to pursue that medically?
Well, I had a massive attack on the shop floor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and I had symptoms previously, and so it all came together.
And so may I ask how long you've been living with it?
Well, I was diagnosed in 1989. I probably had it since early 80s.
So I think that's another myth maybe people might not know, is that you can live with it for a long time. And it's something that that is challenging, but you're obviously here, you're working on this play. Yeah. You know, you have a big, full life.
Yeah, and that's been one of the messages I've tried to bring forward in my writing, is that you can have a full life with MS, in spite of the MS.
Mm-hmm. I was, Bonnie, what are some of the myths that you may have thought about that people have as far as knowing, what they know about MS?
I think that a lot of the symptoms, it's easy to underestimate the effect they have on your life. For instance, the fatigue. I mean, I've seen these wonderful writers come in and out of rehearsal, and I mean, they're tired, and it's not just the normal tired. It's like a whole fatigue that affects every part of their body and their mind, and even their speech, and it's a really serious symptom that is invisible.
So are living with MS then?
Yeah.
Is
yes.
that right, Gary? What are some of the themes that have emerged for you in writing? And have you gone from a personal point of view, or do you write from other people's point of views?
My writing has been very personal. And it's been an amazing experience for me. It's been very cathartic.
I think that it's when you're writing something personal, it's probably harder to talk about it than it is to write about
it. It's scary.
Yeah.
And I think our participants are really brave. I mean, we have the kinds of conversations on stage that we can't have at the grocery store or at the library. Often the people that we work with have never had the opportunity to say these things out loud or even to really think them through. And it takes an enormous amount of bravery to share those with strangers, even strangers who desperately want to work with you and with your stories. And so I really have to applaud our participants because they do. They really take a leap of faith that is very unusual in normal life.
Well, you're listening to Stage and Studio. My guests are Katie Liljeholm, and she's the Artistic Director of Well Arts Institute. And we have actor Bonnie Littleton and writer Gary Gilbert and director Heath Hyun Houghton, who created a new play. It's called The Unexpected Guest, and it's on March 14th, 15th, and 21st, and 22nd at Portland Actors Conservatory at 1436 Southwest Montgomery Street in Portland. And Heath, how has it been working with all the writers and directors?
We began our workshops in November. And it was because of the holiday break, it was very hit and miss as when we were able to meet. And I was just blown away by how accessible they were with their stories and what they were willing to share and how bravely and boldly they were willing to share on that first date. And because of their courage on those early during those early stages, I think that they really created an atmosphere where they were willing to go to some of these places where catharsis could happen for some of them. And then as we brought the actors into the room, the collaboration between the actors and the writers has just been a wonderful thing to get to watch, because they're so receptive to one another and they're so sensitive to each other's needs. Like if something's not working, the writers are more than willing to have a dialogue to help make those moments land. It's been wonderful.
So is there a mix of people with MS and, you know, who don't have MS as far as the actors, or is it all, how are you shaping this up as far as, you know, who can speak from a personal point of view and who's, you know, more acting?
I would assert, and this is just an assertion on my part, that the actors were cast because of the quality of their work and what they bring to the table, and that any similarities that they may experience in their own lives are coincidental.
So I was wondering, Bonnie, what brought you to want to work on The Unexpected Guest?
Well, I have a similar illness, which would be maybe for a different show.
Okay.
But I act in various plays and musicals and stuff in Oregon and Washington. And when I saw this audition, I thought, that is so meaningful and it's so important. It's something I really want to be a part of.
Have you performed this kind of material before?
Not any health-related material. No, I haven't. And I love working with these people, so hopefully I will again in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you want to, since we're talking with you, do you want to maybe read one of the pieces that
you'll
be performing?
Sure.
And maybe give us an introduction to it, or one of you can?
Well, I have a few different pieces where I just thought I'd read one paragraph to give the flavor of the different writers.
All right.
And the first one is called I Have MS. Who's the author of that one?
Bryony Nesbitt.
Great, thank you. I have MS. To me, this means nothing, of course. This is something I deal with, something I work around, and something, though sad, I have gotten used to. To you, since you can't see it, it also means nothing. To you, it's something I bring up when I can't make it, or I try to explain in some way how I feel or what it means. I can't, really. And this next one is a bit from Who Was I at 24?
By Gina Mattioda.
I'm Hannah. I've always had an air of security when asked, who was I at 24 and even at 40 with MS? My identity was my job. Bottom line, whatever was on my resume, the job, the title, summed up me. Because I had decided after college I was going to have a career. No husband. No children. Instead, a life focused on lobbying and public affairs. I was determined to use my double major in poli-sci and journalism to its fullest potential. And do we have time for
sure?
Okay,
keep going. Keep on going.
Recalculating
by Julie May Muterman.
My mom, my neurologist, my counselor, my friends, for years had encouraged me to get involved with the MS support group. You need to meet people who share your experience and understand what you're going through, they would say. You desperately need the support of your peers. You can't go this alone. Well, we had just moved to town, so I figured it was as good a time as any to venture forth. So I finally went to my first and only MS support group last night. It was at JB's Bar and Restaurant. Thanks to my GPS, I managed to find the place. I walk in and see a long table of tables, one table after the other, and 20 chairs, but only 14 butts showed up.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for reading that. That was Bonnie Littleton reading from The Unexpected Guest, and show times are March 14th, 15th, 21st, and 22nd, Fridays at 7:30 p.m., Saturdays at 2 p.m. at Portland Actors Conservatory, located 1436 Southwest Montgomery Street in Portland. And for more info, you can call the Well Arts office at 503-459-4500. That's 459-4500, or visit wellarts.org, or you can also visit stageandstudio.org, where I have all that info as well as a podcast of the show. For more info on the National MS Society of Oregon, visit nationalmssociety.org. So in the time remaining, I was just wondering, Gary, I wanted to know, has this been healing for you as one of the writers working on The Unexpected Guest? Has it been a healing process for you?
It's been healing in surprising ways. I had no expectations going into this thing, and I was amazed at how healing it ended up being. It was very delightful to discover that.
Was there a particular moment where you just felt like, you know, that it was healing for you?
I think the collaboration with the other writers and with Heath has been part of that process for me, and I don't know there was a specific moment in time, but it just the overall feeling.
Had you ever done this before?
No.
So this is basically your first time sort of in public to talk about this.
Yes.
This condition. And so I think that in of itself can be very healing. I don't want to keep using the word healing, maybe freeing.
Yeah,
in many ways.
That's a good word, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a certain freedom to it. Will you have friends and family there?
Oh, yes.
Yeah? Have you prepped them for it?
Not really. I think it's better if they go in with no expectations.
There you go. And it'll be the unexpected expectation,
right,
of the
exactly.
unexpected guest. There you go. So also, I'm just wondering, what do you all hope that people will understand about multiple sclerosis? I mean, it's not really, MS is not something that we, you know, it's not up there. We don't talk about it as much, I don't think, as
yeah.
we could. What have you all learned? What would you hope people to get from this performance?
Well, I hope that people come away with a feeling of hope that, you know, this, it's,
I also very much hope that people come away from it not thinking that it's something that happens to other people, but something that it happens to their neighbors and their coworkers, something that they can expand their lives to accommodate, that as issues of MS or other illnesses crop up in their lives, that it's something that they feel like maybe they know a little bit more about how to handle it and how to accommodate other people after hearing all of these stories.
I'm hoping they leave with a new respect for people who are dealing with all of these issues, and yet it doesn't show, and they are beautiful, active, wonderful people. I think they deserve your respect.
Yeah.
How about you, Heath?
I agree with all of these wonderful sentiments, and I also think that for me as a younger person, it's being able to see this wonderful story of survival and through all of the obstacles that life can throw at us. This just happens to be one of them, and I really appreciate getting to experience and observe that.
Yeah. Well, in the time remaining also, Katie, what else is happening with Well Arts? You want to talk about the
golly, yes!
You get so excited, you're blowing
out.
Oh,
we have so many many things going on.
You're blowing out our mics.
Oh,
okay.
Sorry. Yeah. I have one of those voices.
Calm down. Okay.
Okay. So we are just about to audition actors for a project that we're doing called Jump at the Sun. It's an intergenerational African American women's oral history theater project. And so we partnered with the Delta Sigma Theta Alum Society of Portland, and we trained young African American women to collect the oral histories of older African American women and then write their own reaction pieces of experiences. And so we'll be auditioning professional African American actresses to perform transcripts from these conversations as monologues and dialogues. So that's going to open in May. That's going to close our season. We also happen to have a fundraiser coming up. We have a evening of swing dancing among trains. And so
that sounds a bit dangerous to me.
Well, it's a train museum. None of the trains are moving. But it's at it's called A Touch of Well Arts. It's April 5th from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Oregon Rail Heritage Center.
I know. I made a joke about that.
And the Jenny Finn Orchestra is playing for us. And thank them so much. We're so grateful for that.
Well, that sounds like a full plate there. Yeah. I was wondering about the partnership with the, was that a sorority with the African American play that you're doing?
Yes, the Delta Sigma Theta Alum Society.
Why did you choose that?
They they just pounced on the opportunity as soon
as I presented
it to
them. Was it a black sorority?
They're one of the oldest sororities in the country, and I think the oldest African-American sorority in the country.
I did not know that.
They have an amazing community center on the corner of Albina and Ainsworth. They took over an old gas station. They made it completely LEED certified, zero carbon footprint. Gorgeous space with a gallery and piano and just this beautiful community center. These ladies are just so amazing, and they've been such stalwarts in the Portland community, and it's really neat to show them mentoring the younger women and then to reveal all of the contributions that they've made to Portland.
Well, that sounds exciting too. So you got a full plate for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Any final words for the unexpected guest, Gary? Do you want to give us a little bit more thoughts about the writing process for you?
Well, first I want to thank you for having me on your show. And I want to thank Heath because he's been an inspiration for me. And the energy that you provide and the feeling of safety enabled us to do what we did.
Well, thank you so much all for being here. It's been a total pleasure to have you here. The Unexpected Guest, it's at the Well Arts Institute. Showtimes are March 14, 15, 21st, and 22nd, Fridays at 7:30, Saturdays at 2, at Portland Actors Conservatory, 1436 Southwest Montgomery Street in Portland. More info at wellarts.org, or you can call them at 503-459-4500, or visit stageandstudio.org, where I have that. And I'll have a podcast of this show a little bit later today. Katie Liljeholm, artistic director, and Bonnie Littleton, actor, and Gary Gilbert, writer, and Heath Jan Houghton, director. What a full house today. Thank you all for coming today.
Thanks so much for visiting.
Thank you.
Up next, I'm going into my audio vault. Here's a sound. And we're going to listen to a collage piece. It's a piece that's about with three generations of sisters from ages 10 to 80, and it's called Sisters.
Sometimes I'm really glad I have a little sister. I love her, but she still gets on my nerves. Sometimes I wish we could be separated more.
She'll hit me, or she'll kick me or something, and I'll just scream, "You had to do something, you had to ruin it." And she gets in trouble for it because everybody knows that she started it, and I never do.
There's no way I could get closer to her, really, until she gets a little older, because right now she's going through a lot of different stages. Until she gets older, I think it would be better just we stay separated because we get into so many fights.
My sister is very kind. I think she's probably the nicest person in our family. Most generous, most loving, most honest. We can get together and talk and not finish any sentences, but know what we're talking about. We're
like best friends, and we always accept each other, whatever's happening in our lives, and take care of each other, and we're always there for each other.
She was real dominating, very dominating. She was the oldest, and that was a big complex I think she always had, was wanting to take care of all of us and keep us in line.
Well, I tried to be the mom a lot when we were real little. I would be the mom, and I'd get out a comb and spank everybody, and then I'd get spanked for spanking everybody. So I took my role real seriously as the older sister.
Oh, I resented it. Being the youngest, I think I got a lot of that. Everybody wanted to raise me.
She's a lot more together than me in some ways. She looks at everything I do wrong, and she doesn't ever do it.
She's a housewife and a mother, and I'm the person going to school and having a career. And I think, in a sense, we both go through stages where we wish we were each other. We wish we had each other's life.
From the time we were knew anything about playing, we played together, built houses and fell down steps, everything like that.
Our mother dressed us alike, and they thought we were twins, really.
I think our taste is very much the same for entertainment and things like that. Of course, I like music better than Ruthie does, but then I go there and she likes artist things. She goes to artist shows and things like that. I don't enjoy those very much.
We like to walk. We like to be out. We love nature and we love animals.
We just respect each other's wants, and Ruthie tries to do what pleases me and I try to please her.
I'd say the main thing is knowing that if we needed anyone, they were there. And just live from day to day. That's all you can do. Right now is all you have anyway. Particularly when you get up our age.
That piece was titled Sisters. Before we go today, Passon Art Theater presents Two Black Men Sitting Around Talking, and yes, that is the title, by Gus Edwards. It's a two-person play that gives us a bird's-eye glimpse into the future of the aging process, and it features actors Jerry Foster and George Hendricks, and it's directed by Sandy Burgess. Two Black Guys Sitting Around Talking runs from March 14th through April 13th at 7:30 p.m. That's Fridays and Saturdays, with a 3 p.m. matinee on Sundays. All shows are at the Ethos Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. That's located at 5340 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. And there's a special community night that's a discounted price. I can't tell you what it is, but it's pretty good. That's on March 13th. And there's also a panel discussion with African-American playwright Gus Edwards on Saturday, April 5th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, April 6th after 3 p.m. For more info and tickets, visit Passon, P-A-S-S-I-N, art.org, or call 503-235-8079. That's 235-8079. And tickets are also available at the door. And another announcement, Susan Banyas and So-and-So-and-So-and-So Productions presents a new performance collage called Blue Wheel on March 14th and 15th at 8 p.m. at the Headwaters, located at 55 Northeast Farragut Street, number 9 in Portland. For more info, visit headwaters.net, or you can email Susan at sbanyas@teleport.com for reservations. The Blue Wheel is conceived and directed by Susan Banyas with other artists, including Greg Bill Meyer, David Ornette Cherry, and Lucinda Parker. That's it for Station Studio. Thank you so much to engineer Kate Welch. Thank you so much. I'll have this show online later today at stationstudio.org, as well as the podcast on iTunes. And you can like us on facebook.com/stage_n_studio, or tweet me at @stage_n_studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're going out with more music by David Ornette Cherry at davidornettecherry.com.
ABU is a proud media co-sponsor of March Music Modern 4 for 2014. Listening to the Here of the Now. Beginning Friday, March 3rd, and running through Sunday, March 16th, 32 events, 20th and 21st century music, concerts, movies, and more. Music by composers from near and far, performed by both local and internationally acclaimed musicians at a variety of venues throughout Portland. Many of these events are free. That's March Music Modern. More information at the KBOO homepage under Community Events or at marchmusicmodern.org.
And this KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Merrill Hurst University's five-part MBA programs designed for working professionals who are seeking to enhance skills, revitalize career potential, and gain new knowledge that can be applied at work the next day. Enrolling now for spring term. Details at merrillhurst.edu.
Andy Warhol, let's just scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen.
Good morning. Thanks so much for listening to Art Focus. My name is Ava Lake, and I have with me today Amy Bernstein. She has an exhibition that just opened up at Nacional, and Nacional is really close to KBOO here. It's, 811 East Burnside. So it's in that area where there's a bunch of different galleries, both downstairs and up above. And Nacional it has all these French products and all these great art books, and it's also a gallery that, to me, is kind of focused on painting. Amy, would you say that's true, or am I just imagining that?
I think that May, the owner of Nacional, she definitely focuses on painting, but I think that there are actually quite a few photographers, Delaney Allen, mm-hmm. And performance art. There's a lot of performance events in the space as well, so I think that May kind of...
She's all over.
She is. She's just focusing on the stuff that she finds interesting and stimulating.
So your exhibition is a painting show.
Yes.
At Nacional, and it's called Notes. So let's just start... before we start with the title, let's just talk about what do we see when we walk in? What are we looking at when we enter the gallery?
You're definitely looking at my most recent body of work, which is a collection of rather abstract and minimal paintings. It's just my most recent body of work. I've been painting for a long, long, long time in conjunction with doing art criticism and... Yeah, that's my most recent body of work, basically.
All right, so let me get a little bit better description. So these are paintings that, medium, is it oil or is it?
It is oil painting.
They're oil paintings. They are forms on a white background.
Yes.
Generally. And but these forms are sort of isolated. So you see a lot of the white and then you see these marks that are made. And although maybe form is a better word than mark. And they are, looks like it almost could be figures, but they're not figures, or hieroglyphs, you know, some kind of symbol. And lots of different colors in every particular canvas. Does that sound good? Does that sound about right?
Yes, that sounds. It's always difficult to describe your own work.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that sounds very.
This is what I try to
accurate.
Do on radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
And though they say it's called, it's like dancing with dancing about architecture.
Yes.
But I think you can do it, and so I always try to do that. So notes, what does that mean?
Well, my painting process and my writing process, they always are actually kind of in conjunction, to tell you the truth. When I was in school, I used to write all over the walls of my studio while I was working. And I think of language and the forms of my paintings to be very similar. I want them to kind of, and the way that I write is also very similar. I like the things to kind of butt up against each other in a way that is unusual and non-stereotypical, mm-hmm. That's stimulating in some way that is maybe not even pinpointable, but mm-hmm. even absurd or just stimulating visually. So I think of the picture plane as something that is very flat, but also something that is illusion,
references illusion.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that I think about this new body of work, and I think that this new body of work especially pushes that even further. The colors involved, I try to think of them as not conjuring certain instances. Like, I believe that certain color combinations, you can conjure cheap hotels or hospital rooms or right. 1985 this country.
You're trying to avoid those kinds of meanings?
I am, uh-huh. Yes. And which I'm sure I can't avoid entirely, but I'm sure they conjure things for everybody. But according to what I see, I'm trying to make something unusual and something stimulating at the same time.
So just keeping with this thing of, I plan to talk to you about your writing, but I hadn't really thought about how much the two could have influenced each other. So in writing, of course, meaning and content is always on the front burner because you're working kind of in art criticism, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So with painting then, you're kind of trying to go the opposite direction is what I'm hearing from you, avoiding the obvious content that one might get out of, let's say, red or blue put together, this type of thing.
Yes. However, when I think about my writing and my painting being similar, I guess I'm talking more about formal aspects of the sound of words and images that words might conjure that are kind of a wrench in the engine.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, I think of them as being almost the same thing.
Really?
Yes.
Right. But your writing, though, is it art criticism or are you also doing, like, I don't know, fiction, I guess? Or?
No, but I do think